And this series is called Built for Action, Powered by the Spirit. Don't you just love what these guys do with these? This is like one of my favorites. So it's like, yes, you feel the power and the strength that is there. This particular week, Core 37, is making us new. If you read in the book, it's the Holy Spirit, and that's what it talks about. It's a great chapter. Some chapters, I think, are stronger than other chapters. This particular one, I think, has got some great scripture in it, and really quite a long list that you would see as he's going through of what the Holy Spirit does, how the Holy Spirit works. And so if you haven't read it, I would really encourage you to read that particular chapter. I felt I wanted to give you more than just reading, giving you a list of what the Holy Spirit does, but trying to make it more application to you as we would talk this morning. And so that's my intent. The scripture says, why don't you read it together with me? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Help us to hear your voice, not mine. We'll give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen. As we're looking at this particular topic, the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of things that we want to understand about who the Holy Spirit is and how he works and what scripture would help us to understand in regard to it. So first of all, we say the Holy Spirit, as we would understand, will continue working, is the third person, is the third person of the Trinity. Okay, we're working on it. Third person of the Trinity, he was present in creation, so that's important for us to understand. So when we understand the Trinity is a concept that's a little alien to our brains, a little difficult. Almost everything that you try to use as an analogy to help explain who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, kind of breaks down at some point. It all breaks down. So we could kind of say it's like water. It could be steam and ice and liquid. That's three things that the same thing is water. Or you could see it's like an egg, and they say it's a shell and a white and a yellow. But like those things, like, you know, the egg, once you pull them apart, you can't pull them back together. I mean, it's just, so everything breaks down when you kind of try to explain it in that. But there are three distinct persons in the Trinity. Three distinct persons. And so all of those, as we would understand, were a part of creation. And so when we look at that, we say, okay, and we refer to the Spirit in as a pronoun, not it, but he. And that's an important aspect, that you would always call the Holy Spirit he and not it, and understanding what that looks like. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He was present in creation, assumed different forms throughout the Old Testament. And so we saw that the Holy Spirit was with the children of Israel when they were traveling. There was a cloud by day and a fire by night, yes. And so we saw that was the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Old Testament, we also saw the Holy Spirit take different forms of persons, and we would see that throughout that. Now, the Holy Spirit would rest on people from time to time, but never did he dwell in all people as he does now. And so that's what we understand. So when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to give you the Spirit. And so you will have his presence with you. And so evidenced at Jesus' baptism, he came in like a dove. Yes, wasn't necessarily a dove, but it's like a dove. That's what Scripture says. And so we have to understand that in that kind of a presence that was there. And he was promised by Jesus as our advocate. And so we'll talk a little bit more what that means, several scriptures that refer to that as well. So then it said in creation, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And so we are formed in the image of God. And we'll talk about what that looks like and how that's understood. But that means that all three persons of the Trinity were a part of creation. Jesus said in John 15, "But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify about me." See, all three persons mentioned here, the Spirit, the Father, and Jesus. And so as we see that, now it's probably, when we talk about this, the Holy Spirit is probably the least kind of mentioned persons of the Trinity. And so we really don't talk about the Spirit as much as we talk about the Father and we talk about the Son. There's a reason for that, and it's not necessarily a problem, but it helps us understand a little bit better, because the purpose of the Holy Spirit was to testify about Jesus. And so that was his purpose, that was his mission, as we would understand. And so that helps us to understand, oh, okay, that makes sense. Now I get it a little better, understand how, why it's not necessarily mentioned as much. Now there's a lot in Scripture, and we'll talk about a number of those, and you see if you read your chapter, as I said earlier, you'll see a lot of those places that the Holy Spirit is mentioned and how he works. We understand that the Holy Spirit is omnipotent, all-powerful. And so as we would look at who the Holy Spirit is, we understand all three persons in the Trinity possessed all three characteristics about this, of the Godhead. And so Scripture says the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And so that hovering is really kind of like as a chick or hen would kind of brood over her chicks, kind of like resting over and like nurturing, caring. Now, we have that same opportunity because that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He hovers over us and then lives in us. And so we'll talk about how that works as well. Now, the Holy Spirit is omniscient, all wise. And so as we would look at that, Scripture says this way, "But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit." And so we understand then he is all wise. We also understand he is all omnipresent or all present in looking at that. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. Understanding that he is all present. Now, this is interesting as we try to look at this and understand. Now, we know it helps us understand a little bit how much Jesus sacrificed for us, because when he came as a human, he sacrificed part of who he was in the Godhead. And so we know that Luke 2:52 says he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So he grew and developed. So he came and humbled himself as us, meaning he couldn't be omnipresent anymore, because Jesus could only be in one place. It says he grew in wisdom, so he wasn't omniscient when he first started. He developed, and we see then power and all of those aspects continue to develop in Jesus. So I don't know that we somehow grasp all of that when we first start to think about this, but if you think about it more, you realize what a sacrifice was made by the Godhead that we might have salvation, we might have Jesus living in us. And we know that Jesus not only is sitting at the right hand of the Father in a body, but he's returning in a body as well. And so that omnipresence was sacrificed for us that we might be able to have the omnipresence of the Spirit in each one of us forever. What a great privilege and gift that has been given to us. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person with a mind, will, and emotions. We all have a mind, will, and emotions. We have been created in God's image it makes sense and understand if we're in his image, he would also possess all three persons of the Godhead, would possess a mind, will, and emotions. Mind, the scripture says, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. We also know his will. It is the one and only spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So each, as we understand, each person in the Trinity has a different purpose, a different mission. There's no jealousy, there's no awkwardness, there's just a oneness, a working together. And when we understand that, we understand that when we come to Christ and we invite Jesus into our heart, literally the Holy Spirit comes and lives in our heart, because Jesus is a person. Holy Spirit can come and dwell in all of us at the same time. So he comes and lives in us. As a result, he brings a spiritual gift to each one of us. Now, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, I would really challenge and encourage you to make sure you find out what it is, because you find your purpose, your joy, all that can be a part of who you are by understanding your spiritual gift and then using it in the kingdom. So every one of us, when you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a person. He doesn't come in pieces. So you can't get more of the Holy Spirit. Now, he needs more of you, but you can't get more of him, because he's a person. He comes in completeness. I'll talk about the fact that we all need to have less of us, more of him, in that sense that he can possess more of us. And that comes by our surrender to experience it. But he's a person. And so we understand that he brings a spiritual gift for each one of us. What if I told you I have a gift for you, it was wrapped up, and I handed it to you, you certainly couldn't say, wow, thanks, this is just what I needed, because you don't know what it is. In fact, you won't know what it is until you open it up. That's what it is for many Christians who have spiritual gifts, and they don't know what it is. They've never opened it up. Now, think about it. If I gave you a gift and you never opened it up, I'd feel bad. Because I would say, so didn't you like the idea of me giving you something? I mean, now, so think about it. If God gives us a gift, he wants us to open it. He wants us to experience it. So why would we not do that? So find out what your spiritual gift is. Then find out how you can use it and experience what he wants to do through you, because you're going to get your greatest joy when you're doing that. He has emotions. Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to join in my struggle by praying to God for me. Do this because of your love for me, given to you by the Holy Spirit. Experiencing emotion. He says, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. So he feels that. I think part of what the sorrow we could bring is not even opening the gift that he's given to us. Not even receiving, not even understanding. By the way you live, remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So we understand more of what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit has promised. What has he promised, and what was promised when we talk about that? The Holy Spirit came to personally indwell all believers as Jesus promised. He was recognized as the advocate who represented Jesus. And here's what Scripture says. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, so he represents Jesus, that's how he comes into us, that is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Okay, so what comes to our mind, then the Holy Spirit now works through that. He works through our conscience. So you're going to kind of feel like good and wrong or whatever's a part. The Holy Spirit comes, dwells in you. He's going to work through that. Now, obviously, you can ignore those things and you continue to ignore him, it's like your hearing goes out because you hear less and less and less when you ignore the voice of God. But that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. The Spirit speaks to us of our need. He helps us to understand. The more you understand God's word, he's going to use that to help teach you and remind you. That's why we need to be daily in it. He's going to, and I think probably many of you understand what I'm saying, but when you read scripture and it's like this was highlighted, it's like it kind of jumps off the page at you, that's the Spirit speaking to you about his word. And so we all kind of understand that the more we understand and learn to know his voice, right? So you'll be at a point and you'll feel like something kind of gives you the impression you should say something or do something. And at first you may be feeling like, am I supposed to do this? But the more you learn to hear that voice, the more you think, oh, that's the Spirit speaking to me. I need to do that. I need to say that, or I need to go there, or whatever. Just interesting ways that the Holy Spirit works. He said, I'll send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. Now, the Holy Spirit was promised that he's always to be with us. Good news, good news. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Advocate who will never leave you. And so until Jesus left the earth, we couldn't have the presence of the Holy Spirit in every one of us. So that's why he left, sent the Spirit to be in us. Now, the Holy Spirit came to give us power, an important part. There are several things that you're going to see. We've used that in our memory verse for today. He will give you power. I really feel that many Christians are operating without the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They're working it out on their own. And let me say this, it's much harder to do this on your own than it would be if you allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to work in you. That's the good news, and that's what he wants to do. Scripture says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. You'll have power to witness, power to overcome, power to be what you need to be. And that's why he says in all places that this will happen. I like this illustration. Hope it illustrates that. A young missionary, Herbert Jackson, was given a car to help him in his work. The car was a major asset, but it had one difficulty. It would not start without a push or a jump start. Jackson devised a system to cope with the car's inability to start. When he was ready to leave his home, he went to a nearby school and asked permission to bring some of the children out of class to help him push start his car. Throughout the day, he was careful to always park on a hill or to leave his engine running when he stopped for short visits. For 2 years, the young missionary used what he believed was an ingenious method to enable him to use the car. When poor health forced the Jackson family to leave the field, a new missionary arrived to lead the mission. When Jackson explained to the new missionary his methods for starting the car, the young man opened the hood and began inspecting. "Why, Dr. Jackson," he interrupted, "I believe the only trouble is the loose cable." He gave the cable a twist, pushed the switch, and the engine roared to life. For 2 years, Dr. Jackson had used his own devices and endured needless trouble. The power to start the car was there all the time. It only needed to be connected. So what is that telling us? That we have that power, it just needs to be connected. I can't really laugh at poor Dr. Jackson because it's only a few years back, I had my remote start in my pocket. I was raking leaves at my house. I was leaned over, and my car started. I had had that car for over 2 years. I never knew it had a remote start. I didn't know what that button was on my remote. I had the power to start my car without being in it. but I never knew it. You have the power to really ignite your spiritual walk. And if you're not taking advantage of what the Holy Spirit has given you, you're worse off than I was by just not starting a car. You've got to understand what God wants, because the Holy Spirit also brings joy. He brings joy to our lives. And that should be characteristic of who we are. We should be seen as people of joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know the words, but why don't we access them? Why don't we start it? Because Scripture says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Realizing he's given us the power to live, the joy to experience what he has for us. Now, the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is the fruit of the Spirit. That is a very biblical base, and it's important for you to understand. There are some who would say evidence of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues or some other kind of manifestation. That's not a biblical framework. You can't show me all the way through Scripture that that is understood, because even in Corinthians, he says, do all people have that? As we would look at Corinthians 12, or 1 Corinthians 12. No, but this is to be evidenced in all believers. We can be able to see what the fruit of the Spirit is needed. And here's what Scripture says. But when the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Now, how many fruit are produced in us? You don't have to count them. You can just look at what this says. It's one fruit. That means it's the Holy Spirit, and he produces all of this in our lives. And so, what should be the evidence of God working in you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That should be evident in you. And there should be more of it in you now than was when you came to Christ. Right? Amen? So you should be more patient now than you were before. Right? Come on. Yeah. All right. Because that's called growing in your faith. It's developing, allowing the Holy Spirit to have more control of your life and seeing more of the evidence of the Spirit in you. However, don't we all know somebody who's not a believer that's kinder than some believers we know? How many of you would say, yep, I know, we all do. And we think, why is that? Don't they have the Holy Spirit in them? Well, shouldn't they be kinder? Well, you don't know how unkind they were before, right? They could have been really bad. They're just better now than they were before. I kind of look at it this way, and that's the only way I can really think about it. I kind of look on a spectrum, all of these kind of characteristics that kind of go like this in our lives. And some people seem to have a whole lot more peace or joy than others. Some people have a lot more patience or kindness or whatever than others. And when you get an equal amount of the Spirit in all of us, then it still has this kind of look to it. If you pour the same amount of the Spirit and the fruit in all of those characteristics, you're still going to have some that are bigger, grower, higher, or whatever than others. And as I see that, I see there's always places that we need to grow in. And so, let's say patience. I struggle with patience, and that's something that I need to keep allowing the Spirit to work in me to develop even in a greater way. I think all of us can see, but I have to know I have much more now than I did then. And that's going to be important for every one of us, because that's how he works. Now, the Holy Spirit acts in several ways and several things. The Holy Spirit identifies, authenticates, and affirms who Jesus is. So that's one of the primary focus when we are, look at him and what he does. I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. So he's going, that's one of his primary purposes. One of the others is he indwells us, directs, transforms, and sanctifies all believers. Sanctify, that means sanct, S-A-N-C-T, means holy. Holify, make us holy. That's what he's doing in that process. And so all of us should be more holy now than when we gave our hearts to Christ. That should be part of the process. You don't have to be afraid of that. That's a good thing. It's going to be good as God continues. Scripture says it this way, and for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We're always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. So as we look at this, we see it also the Holy Spirit inspired. He inspired the Word of God, the writers, applies, instructs, and affirms God's Word in our lives. As I spoke earlier, that kind of highlighting, that understanding God's Word is going to come alive to us. That's God's Spirit in you reacting to His Word that brings that to life for you. Above all, you must realize no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the people's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. And so as we understand asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you may grow in your knowledge of God, and that's what he's going to continue to do in each one of us. That's the Spirit making the Word come alive, speaking to us. And so as we look, then realize the Spirit's work and then be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says this, and there's several things in this book of Ephesians. And let me just kind of point out several things as we go through in each of these verses. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. So that's what happened. When you were saved, he gave you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. So that's our purpose, to glorify God. And so he gives us this Holy Spirit to work in us when we are saved. Then he says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. So he gives us his Spirit to glorify God. He empowers us to do that. So Paul's itemizing this, really running right down so we understand. Then he says this, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. And so you want to put a log jam in your spiritual dynamics and your spiritual growth? Let these be part of your life, and you're going to find yourself jamming up. Your battery on your remote is going to be dead. You're not going to be able to experience God's power, his joy, or his purpose in your life because you're allowing sin to stay. He says, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. Boy, a lot of Christians kind of play around these things. We got to make sure this has no place for us, folks. God's word couldn't be any more clear. We need to just be real careful about these things because I want to be that vessel that the Spirit can flow through as freely as possible. I don't want to be creating obstacles that prevent the Spirit's power working through me, empowering me. Then he says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your health or your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's really interesting, isn't it, that Paul puts these two together? And realistically, like, nobody's going to say, I hope church is over soon. I want to go out and get drunk. Because he says, now don't be drunk with wine. there's a great importance of understanding. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Like, I thought that the Spirit was a person, and I already had the Holy Spirit in my life. Well, yeah, you do, but does he have all of you? So there's going to be lots of surrenders in your life. But there has to be a major one when you kind of realize what I really need to do. And that's what Paul talks about here. But instead, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why does he compare these two and kind of parallel these two? Because, you know, when you're drunk, you're not really in control. Some other force is in control. When you're filled by the Spirit, same, some other force controls you, which is a good thing, because you don't want you all the time. You want him. And that's what he wants to do. And, you know, I know there's some angry drunks and some mean drunks, but there's a lot of happy drunks, too. I've seen a number of them. I won't go any further in all of that. But the fact is, that's the kind of joy that we're supposed to have that's uninhibited, that's just a joy. And so that comes by several things, four things I want to say. One, begin by surrender all your past, your present, and your future. It's kind of like writing a blank check, signing your name on it. You know what checks are, right? I mean, I know we do everything online, but you do remember that, right? That's an okay thing. Thanks. I see some younger heads nodding, so that helps me. It's like having a blank check, writing your name on it, and letting God fill in the blanks. Because it means, like, tomorrow, today, like, maybe it's like your family or a recreation or a relationship or a circumstance. And God says, I want that. And you go, and then you say, oh yeah, that's right, Lord. I signed the blank check. Everything I have is yours. So go ahead, it's okay. And so you keep going through that, and you'll keep being reminded of that time and time again. But every time you come up to it, you say, no, I surrendered all my past. I surrender all my present and all my future. And I'm trusting him. Scripture says this, and that's why I think, and so, dear brothers and sisters, so he's speaking to Christians, not to unbelievers, but to Christians, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So this surrender is speaking to Christians that we all need to be in that place. Express your desire for his filling in your life by asking and inviting him into your life. He's not going to force his way into your life. It's going to take an invitation on your part. Scripture says it this way, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So you have to say, I want to invite you into my heart and life. Take control of all of me. That's what it needs to happen. Be willing to fully surrender your will in obedience to his will. And so what does that mean? That means that obedience piece. Like, is there an issue in your life that, like, you're not willing to surrender? Well, then you're going to find it's going to clog up the pathway, and the Spirit is not going to be able to work through you. He says, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him. And so he wants to continue to work in our lives, but it takes obedience on my part to let that power flow through me. By faith, confidently believe and receive his presence into your life. Everything in the Christian life is by faith. It's by faith. It's not by evidence. It's by faith. It's not by work. It's by faith. And that means I have to say, by faith, I gave my heart to Jesus and he came into my life. By faith, I surrender myself fully to him to experience his power and his joy. Let me ask you this question. Scripture says, did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying or by works? No, of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed by faith the message you heard about Christ. He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. That's exactly how it happens. I want to give you that opportunity this morning, whether you're online or whether you're here in the house. that you would like to say, you know, I just want to be fully God's. I want to know his power in my life. I want to know his joy. And I know that comes by my full surrender. So this morning, God's been speaking to my heart, and I just want to fully surrender to him. Let him be in complete control. Would you just stand right where you are? I just want to pray for that in closing. God's been speaking to your heart, and you're just saying, I want to know that power. I want to experience that in my life. I want to be confident. By faith, I'm just saying, here it is, Lord. I'm giving you my past, present, future. I'm surrendering to you. You just want to stand right now. Anyone else? God's been speaking. Amen. Anyone else? Just maybe it's something you're going through. Maybe it's a circumstance or a situation, but you're saying, I just want to fully surrender. Here it is, Lord. It's in your hands. Anyone else? Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the promises of your word. Thank you for the power that you want to give us, for the gifts that you want to give us, for the way that you want to work in each of our lives. We're trusting you for all that you're going to do. Father, you know each one that is standing. You know the need in their life and their circumstances. Right now, they're just saying, fully, I am surrendering to you. I surrender my past, my present, my future. I'm signing that check and just saying, Lord, it's yours. I'm trusting you for that to work. May your grace, your strength be all that is needed. Let's all stand together. Father, go with us. Help us to hear and see your spirit as we continue to faithfully, obediently walk in the light. In Christ's name, amen.
Hey, it is great to be with you, Church Online. We want to say it's such a pleasure to worship together wherever we're at. And so, Pastor Brandon, yeah, man, it's great to be together here. And wherever you're watching this weekend, our heart's desire with this time is this will really propel you forward in your conversation with one another, as well as your relationship with Christ. And so, right wherever you're at in the chat, the first thing we want to start off with is Pastor Arlie referenced in point D about surrendering your past, your present, and your future to God. And so, Pastor Brandon, like, we'd love to ask for you, which one's the most difficult to surrender? Is it past, present, or future?
Yeah, for me, it's future.
Yeah.
You know, because I can forget my past. I can surrender that. What's done is done. Mm-hmm. And my present, you know, being in the moment, it's a little bit easier to surrender. But the future about what's going to happen tomorrow, the future of my daughter.
Yeah.
Because we try to control our future and some of the decisions that we make. So surrendering your future and trusting our future, the unknown, to God is the toughest thing for me.
Yeah, I think for me, I'd be a present or future one to respond to that question. And it's an issue of just surrendering control. It's just so powerful, like looking at Scripture and how the Holy Spirit wants to take all of that.
Yeah.
So he's like, I want you to give me that because I have the best plan for you. And so for us, as we're talking here and as you're talking wherever you're watching from, what's a takeaway from this weekend's message, Pastor Brandon?
In Acts, when the Holy Spirit indwelled on the Jews in Pentecost, and then you had the Gentile Pentecost, and now to this day, when Jesus prays in John that unity would come, and when he tells the disciples an advocate is going to come,
yeah,
that really is going to cause you to do greater things than I. He was talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times I equate the Holy Spirit with the New Testament. But if you go back in the Old Testament, the Spirit is still working, as Pastor Arlie mentioned, the third person of the Trinity working as one, as God, is the Holy Spirit. And if you go back to Exodus, after the Israelites have broken free and are in the wilderness, the scripture says this in Exodus 13:21. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so they could travel by day or night. This guidance the Spirit and from the Lord to the Israelites now is actually indwelled in our hearts with every believer, that we are now guided by the Holy Spirit into every aspect of our life.
Yeah, and that's so huge to know that he's within us, guiding us. That's one of the things that stuck out to me is, you know, looking through where Pastor Arlie mentioned the point of the Holy Spirit inspires, applies, instructs, and affirms God's word in our lives. So there's this active process that, wow, that was like a thought that wasn't of Mike, you know, it was a God thought. And so really submitting to the way that he directs our lives as we respond to the love of Christ,
yeah.
and really him pointing our hearts back to the will of our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Because, you know, as we are allowing the Spirit to speak to us and work through us as the advocate, he's pointing us, like Jesus said, to remind us of everything that Jesus had taught the disciples. So right. it's like, hey, here's what Jesus is wanting us to do as his disciples, as his followers. And so that's the Spirit's work and evidence in our lives. And so it's just so incredible to know that God wants to dwell within us,
yeah.
you know, right where you're watching from, you know, whichever service it is, or if it's a rebroadcast or a recording that you're catching, like God wants to work within us, like as his dwelling place.
And as a result, Pastor Mike, Jesus says, you will do greater things than I. And Jesus rose people from the dead.
Yeah.
Jesus performed miracles. And what he's saying is the power of the Holy Spirit, when we allow that surrender, is we can make an impact like Jesus had
yeah.
on so many people. The grace he showed people, the mercy, the kindness he showed people, but also the warning of a coming age.
Yeah.
He was able to do that so well.
Well, and the fact that, like, God wants to fill us up, like, out of all the options, he wants to do it through us. He wants to do his work through us. And the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, guiding us to be obediently responsive to the love of God.
Sure.
And so right where you're at, we would love for you to consider and talk about what it looks like to surrender your past, your present, your future, to give of yourselves and really invite the Holy Spirit's work into your lives. And God, it wants to work to hearts that are open to him. So it's more than just saying the words, but will you share those things that are on your heart with God to say, like, I want you to take everything and surrender to you. And so we'd love to encourage you to do that.
And it's a daily surrender, because God gives us today. He doesn't promise us tomorrow.
Yep.
And we can't go back to our past.
Yep.
So what God promises us is today.
Yeah.
And so it's a daily surrender, and being willing to fully surrender our will in obedience to his will as an everyday thought. And so for me, what do I do every day?
Mm-hmm.
I brush my teeth every day. I do my hair. And a lot of that's done in the mirror for me. Like, it's always at least once I'm looking into the mirror
mm-hmm.
during
sure,
the day.
Sure,
so maybe
sure.
maybe the word surrender to remind me of this every day. Man, Holy Spirit, indwell in me. Whatever you have for me today, make sure my response and my actions, my thoughts are guided by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so we want to invite you to do the same thing, is to today, maybe it's the first time, maybe it's a continued process, but let it be a moment. If your heart's at that place to surrender to God, tell him. He knows it, and he wants that and welcomes every part of you. So take that time to pray. And I would encourage you too, if you do take that step, just type it in the chat, I surrender.
Yeah.
Not as something that's for your glory, but so that we can connect and celebrate with you on that. And maybe your decision today is going to be to commit your life to Christ as your Savior. And so if that's you, we invite you to take a moment and confess your need for him, seeking forgiveness and him to be the Savior of your life. If that's you, text I Choose Jesus to 88202. We love you. God loves you and wants to work in your life. God bless you.
God bless you.